الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا أمة بعد أمته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا. وقال تعالى: ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا رب صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable ulama kiram, hufaz of the Quran, beloved brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A person does any work on a structure, perhaps maybe to refurbish, construction, renovate, facelift, upgrade, the work that is being accomplished would not be appreciated if the before was not witnessed. Person calls you to his house and he says, I did a facelift. This looks nice. But if he called you before and he says, brother, this is how the house is dilapidated, some paint falling, we've got some issues, leaks, etc. And then he calls you after the renovations and he says, wow, it came out lovely. Because there was a before and there was an after. So the present ceasefire that we talk about will only be understood when we know the before. Then the after would be appreciated. If we look, this idea was hatched in 1799. That Jerusalem, or rather Palestine, is a land without a people, na'udhu billah, which they considered the Palestinians to be even less than human, a people without a land. So from that time already, it was cooking, there was some idea, ball was getting, was rolling, in preparing this land. 1917, so what kept it together? As long as the Muslim Ummah was united under one Khilafah, the Uthmani Khilafah, alhamdulillah, they couldn't come close to Masjid al-Aqsa to take control of Masjid al-Aqsa. The first to the invasion of Masjid al-Aqsa, or the signing of the Balfour Declaration in 1917, was the fall of the Uthmani Khilafah. When the Muslims were no more in control, we were not united as a globe. This was the stepping stone to Masjid al-Aqsa slowly being lost. And since then, two major wars had taken place, 1947, 1968, or 1948, 1967. One was the Nakba, one was the Naqsa. The Nakba was where there was mass immigration, forced displacement of the Palestinians. Approximately, they would say, half of the then Palestinian population had left their lands. Approximately half. So that was a setback. Approximately 70% of the land usurped and stolen. 50% of the population forced displaced into neighboring countries and around the world. Then comes the Naqsa. That was the setback. That this time now, it wasn't a million people being forced out. That was reduced now to just maybe 300,000 or 350,000, give or take. And now this, in Gaza itself, many wars have taken place, 4 to 5 wars, some will just call them skirmishes, so therefore difference of how it's counted. But those wars in Gaza lasted maybe sometimes 3 days, at times 12 days, one of the years, and the longest would have taken 45 days. This present war that was fought was the longest war in Gaza to date against Hamas. Longest, 15 years. But what has happened after 15 years is a slap in the face for the enemy. He cannot believe it. He says the people who we forced out of their homes are happily waiting for the gates to open to live back in ruins. There's nothing. They're happy to come back to a land that they say is ancestral. It belongs to us. We're Muslim. This is ours. And our objective of fighting will never die. You can kill our people, but you can't kill our resistance. The entire thing started off, we know it was known as Tufan al-Aqsa, that the reason why we engage in this, our focus and objective is Masjid al-Aqsa. Anything else was tolerated. But the moment you place your finger on our Masjid, Masjid al-Aqsa, that infuriated and got them very agitated and upset. And now they unite to say Masjid al-Aqsa is ours. But after 15 long years, despite all the loss of life, the spill of blood, loss of property, coming back to nothing, our Ustad was mentioning, he says that there was one person in Gaza. He was in some contact. This person in Gaza was the owner of a property in Gaza that was $5 million in value. Comes the war, few months later, he's standing in the queue to collect a $300 voucher to buy a tent for himself and his family. So lessons for every one of us. That imagine the person from riches to rags, but despite all of those losses, they were patient, absolutely patient. One of the children, or rather a family, we would say, that they were forced this place into different mukhayyamat and tents. Now this family, people are, it was ceasefire announced, we're going back into Gaza. So their area, south Gaza, was open. And people, families around gather their belongings and they're going back to south of Gaza. And this one group and this people under a tent are not moving. So one of the brothers comes and he says, addresses the people and he says, time to go, we're going home. So they're looking at them and say, go home. We don't have a home. He says, why you don't have a home? He says, our mother became shahida in this war. He says, where's your father? Father was separated. He was in the north, went out for work. We separated and we don't know where's our father. Any contact? No contact. I say, okay. But they're smiling, all smiles. No one is gloomy. No one is down. Those children are smiling. A 6-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 13-year-old. 13-year-old is doing cooking for the other two. So this man says, let me give some time of the day to this small family before I take them and we embark together on this journey and we can take them to where they would stay. They're so young, maybe they don't even know where they stay. So we'll take them. So he says, let me give them some time. And he's speaking to these children and he says are you not pained with the loss? He's saying pain is natural. We are pained, we lost our mother. But my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost his Hamza radiallahu anhu. How many times he performed janazah salah? He says, are you not pained that you have forced out of your home? My Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam was forced out of Makkah Mukarramah, but he still smiled in here. He established a Madinah Tayyiba. Allah will bless us with Madinah Tayyiba. He says, but you're not sad. Like you don't have anyone at home. There's no one to teach. There's no one to be with you. He says, if there is a person I miss, these children are saying, we miss our grandmother. Why you miss your grandmother? My mother was not Hafiza of Quran. My grandmother was Hafiza of Quran. Nani, we would say. She stayed with us. She would recite the Quran and teach us. My mother was not Hafiza. So she used to do the cooking and the cleaning and the household chores. She didn't know Quran. But my Nani, she knew Quran. She passed away. That was a loss. It really hurt and it pained us. We don't have anyone to teach us Quran. But you still smile and you're going back to your homes and there's nothing left. He said, we've got a lot to take from this tent. He says, what do you mean you've got a lot to take? The eldest says, 12 years old, Alhamdulillah, I knew half of the Quran. The remaining 15, I byhearted in these 15 months. I'm Hafiza of Quran. She's a girl. I'm Hafiza of Quran. Alhamdulillah, I'm ready to go back. And the boy, you're 9 years old, he says, 500 ahadith of Riyadu Salihin I know of by heart. My sister taught me 20 paras of the Quran. 9 years old. What was there to do during the day? The moment we wake up in the morning, tilawat of Quran takes place. So if there's a lesson for us to take from the people of Gaza, we find two things outstanding, glaring for every one of us. Number one is Quran Sharif. And number two is the masjid. These two, an attachment to the masjid and tilawat of Quran, if we can become, we bond ourselves, attach ourselves, create a link and a bond, a ta'alluq, mahabba for Quran Sharif. These are the two things that gave them solace, that gave them comfort, that gave them tama'nina, that gave them that comfort that they wanted amongst all of the gloom and the losses that they have endured and went through. Megan Rice, name of a lady. She was a lady that was just an activist, an avid reader. And here comes the war of Gaza. So she's focusing on Gaza, eyes on Gaza. That's her thread. And everyone's reading through this to see what's going to happen in Gaza. And she would upload and people would read and follow whatever she had to post. But there comes a time, few months into the war, not too sure, stand for correction, 2 to 3 months into the war, she sees eyes on Quran. Now we need to see, these people have lost homes, businesses, they don't have anything to live for, yet if there's something they cherish and they hold dearly to their lives, is Quran Sharif. Why would they prioritize the Quran amongst and amidst losses? So she says, eyes on Quran, let's read Quran. Not even a month, she takes Shahada and she becomes a Muslimah. Just, what was it? The resilience of the people of Gaza, their ta'alluq and their love and bond with Quran Sharif, was blowing the winds of Hidayat, someone in another country now becomes a Muslim. To date, 15 billion followers, or rather readers we would say in total. Meaning amongst people following at many times on the different articles that she would be posting, and multiple people became Muslim on her Islam. You see, look at this, read that. She opens our eyes to this incident, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, month of Quran, month of Ramadan is on our doorstep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us that ability that we bond with Quran Sharif and we become lovers of the Quran Sharif. That Quran Sharif starts flowing in my blood and I love Quran. Most of us would understand if we look into our forefathers. I do remember my great-grandfather and my grandfather. So we were young when my great-grandfather passed away. But till today, this voice of his echoes all the time. The moment you go home and Quran Sharif is being recited. Nana is reading Quran Sharif at his whatever time it was. After Fajr Salah, that was a non-compromise. Before Fajr, his recitation of Quran would wake up the people in the house. With a loud voice he would read. Everyone must wake up for Fajr Salah. Tilawat of Quran would take place. After Fajr Salah, no need to sleep. Surah Yasin, if you haven't recited, start the day with Quran Sharif. And at night also, tilawat of Quran before we go to bed. So yes, that was something, alhamdulillah, if we look into our forefathers, when they came to South Africa, masjid has to be established. Then we need an alim and a hafiz or a munshi sahab. He must teach our students and our children the Quran Sharif. And alhamdulillah, how excited, proud as a South African ummah we can say that in every masjid, alhamdulillah, Hifz class is taking place. Alhamdulillah. In Gaza, we heard it was approximately a year ago when Maulana Ahmed Parag Sahib had mentioned the relationship of Gaza and Quran Sharif in the masjid. I think so it was also maybe January, February when that bayan was given in this masjid. They ta'alluq with Quran Sharif. That there was, they would have a gathering and the Hufaz have to read the entire Quran. So they had different levels of it. One is just Hufaz. Proportionate to the population, highest ratio of Hufaz in the world. Proportionate to the population, highest percentage of Hufaz in the world in Gaza. Then they would have a special gathering. This special gathering is like how you would have an elite force. These are for the elite Hufaz. From dawn you come to the masjid. 1,400 participants was the last jalsa that they had. Everyone complete hafiz or hafizah of Quran. Girls, boys, men, old, young, sick, everyone comes. As long as you can only make one mistake in the para, only one maximum, then you will complete the entire 30 juz for the day and then go home. Until your 30 juz is not completed, the jalsa is not over. 1,400 participants for it. And there would be some who will just sit and read the entire Quran. And he would not finish until his partner starts the entire Quran. He would only go home after Isha Salah. Two khatams would take place. Ta'alluq, love born with the Quran Sharif. Ladies who were breastfeeding would come with their children. And tilawat of Quran would take place because that mother was a hafiza. So the bond that we need to bring for us, what gave them that patience? That they were so happy, they were so resilient, so patient throughout these challenges. Number one is Quran Sharif. It's a living message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As of very recent in the ceasefire, due to them having some access to technology and charging their phones and everything is fine, one of these brothers, he's explaining and he's saying that, have you not read Quran? Why are you feeling sorry for us? Have you not read Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدُخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Do you think entering Jannah is a walk in a park? You think it's something Allah is going to give you one ticket and go to Jannah? The people of the past, مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَى وَالضَّرَّى وَزُلْزِلُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them with all different types of difficulties and shook the earth beneath their feet. He says, we didn't go through any earthquake. There has been losses, but losses are everywhere. We lose and these people become shaheed. Other people, they lose their beloveds, maybe heart attack, maybe cancer, an accident or whatever else it be. We proud that our loss is in the form of martyrdom. That they've gone into shahada, they've gone through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number one is that we bond with the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the ta'alluq with Quran Sharif. Number two is the masjid. And the masjid in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah, the first thing is purchase a land and a property to establish an epicenter and a hub. And this central point, the masjid, all a'mal will take place from this masjid. Every sahabi's heart is attached to the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to develop that love for the masjid, Sahih Muslim says, in the riwayat of Sahih Muslim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses sahaba, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا وَأَبْغَدُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. The beloved place for you to attach yourself is the house of Allah. If there's a place to detach, it's the marketplace. If you have free time, come to the masjid. Free time is not in the marketplace. That's a place of necessity. Yes, we need to earn, we need to buy, we need to sell. It's the necessity that's fulfilled. And we come back to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. That there are seven groups of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with a shade under His arsh on the day when there will be no shade besides the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And amongst the seven categories of people, One, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَالرَّجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسْجِدِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. That person whose heart is attached to the masjid. If our hearts are attached, which means we came for the Jumu'ah Salah, the moment we leave, already we're looking at the time, Asr Salah is 5:30. Okay, I need to finish my work at a certain time, leave for home, get ready and be at the masjid. I need to close shop at a certain time, because my Allah is going to call me and I need to be in the masjid. Our hearts are attached, just as that leaf, as long as it's attached to the tree. The moment the roots are watered, the tree, the leaves, the flowers, the branches, the fruit, will all get its nutrients as long as it's attached to the tree. That leaf no longer is it detached from the tree and falls onto the ground. It's crunchy, it's swept on, or swept away, it's trampled, it's got no color, it's got no smell, it's not of beauty anymore. The beauty of the ummah, every one individual in this ummah, is when our hearts are attached to the masjid. Now we will leave the masjid with the fragrance of akhlaq. Now we will look beautiful because we've got the sunnah in our lives. Now we are vibrant because we live with the ruhaniyah and the spiritual energy of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single moment, 120 mercies are descending on Kaaba Sharif. 120 mercies direct from the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Baytullah. And the Baytullah, that is the power station. Every other masjid is a substation. As long as we coming to the masjid, our houses are getting a spiritual connection directly from the arsh of Allah. But as long as, and as soon as, Allah forgive us, Allah protect us, no sooner do we abandon the masjid, will we find a spiritual load shedding in our homes. Then there will be fighting. Then the children are running you up the pole. And then you can't understand how this happened. Well, it's all gloom and dark in the house. There's jahala, there's ignorance. There's no noor. The noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not descending and coming into that home. That has to be received via the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 18th juz of the Quran, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard, speaking about the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where do we receive this? The very next verse, fi buyutin adhina Allahu an turfa, in the houses of Allah will you receive the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the houses of Allah, person comes, he's involved in the activities of the masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, let this moments now be the moments of building a relationship with the masjid. Programs will take place, tafsir in the morning after the Fajr Salah takes place every day, month of Ramadan especially. Programs after every Salah will be hosted in the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a very senior alim in our masjid. Mawlana will be having different programs after different salah. From now we program ourselves that we take part in all of these programs in the masjid inshaAllah. Build a relationship with the masjid. If we look, then the enemy has clearly said, he said to break the spirit of the people of Gaza, break the attachment with the masjid. 2006, 681 masjids in the entire Gaza. 681, 2023, 1,230 masjid in the entire Gaza. Double. One area, Jabalia, one area, approximately 1 square kilometer, approximately 80 to 100 masajid in that one area. That masjid, the masajid of that area are buzzing. Whenever you look at the news that they attacked a certain area, it took them months, or rather there was a siege, they backtracked, there was loss of life, they're hiding the information. And after 4 months, it took them to prepare to come back and lay siege on Jabalia. After 4 months, why? Because they said to penetrate is hard. These people have the powerhouse of Allah, destroyed their masajid, they can't go to the masjid. Perhaps we'll be able to penetrate. So that's what they were doing, bombing their masjids. They can't go for salah. Noor is not in their heart. They're going to be at home. Yes, it was an it is a lesson for us. They were excused why they couldn't go for salah. But we're not being bombed. Who's stopping us from coming to the masjid? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that person who you see frequenting the masjid, be a witness that such a person is a Muslim. Be witness and say he is a Muslim. He frequents the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every one of us with the ta'alluq of the masjid, ta'alluq with the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a bond and an affinity with the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the difficulties of the entire ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But grant us an opportunity to take lesson from what's happening around in the world, and grant victory to the Muslims, grant ease to everyone, keep us with afia, bless us with good deaths, with good health, and let us see the month of Ramadan with good health, with good iman, inshaAllah. Wa akhir da'wanani, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, subhanallah.